Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Oh, Karen, I don't think he should give his Oscar back. Anyway, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 230, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. It's the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. What national day is it? It's so many. It's National Doctors Day. Not, I think, actual doctors, maybe the show The Doctors. I'm not sure. I have to look into that. National I Am In Control Day. Also, National Turkey Neck Soup Day. If you out there with the turkey neck soup recipes on deck, send them on by. Love to know more about it. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Chef Bongi Flay, Chef Anthony Bud Dane, Chef Weed Gang Puck, Endo Lagasse, Gordon Rochzy, Alton Green, which stands because it's Alton Green. And we'll just keep it right there because some of the other names are problematic and we don't talk about some of those chefs. But thank you to CWGVO on the Discord for those wonderful weed chef crossovers because, you know, I love both those things. But who am I joined with today? Oh, you already know. Because we've been talking about it a lot. And then even on the last show, I was like, hey, join me tomorrow. And maybe the next day. And maybe a few consecutive days. I am thrilled to be joined as my guest co-host today. The brilliant and talented podcaster, producer, comedian, actor, voiceover artist, singer. Like amateur preacher at times. If you've heard his entire body of work, please give it up for the brilliant and talented Jackie Sneal.
Unbreak my heart. Say your jockeys again. Undo the hurt you caused when you walked out the door and slapped Chris Rock. Uncry these knees. I cried so many nights. Unbreak my slab. Daily Zine guys. Oh, what up, niggas? We back. I want to just let people know, you know, my sermon at the First Tabernacle Church of Christ is coming up. Tomorrow, we talking about why sex should be allowed. Everybody should be knocking boots, man. You know, God amended some stuff. They just haven't put it to print yet, you know.
Exactly.
We can fuck before marriage now, y'all.
Yo, people love his church, man. He goes, hey, man, we can fuck with church, all right? Nice. Now, you know what? I'm going to let you get a couple more hours out of your Sunday. Why don't you go on home and do what you got to do?
Yeah.
What's good? How you been?
Let me get some Sunday morning delight. What up, Miles? How are you? Yeah. This today feels like a much calmer day.
Yeah. Well, it all depends. It's funny to watch the people who won't leave the Chris Rock and Will Smith shit alone still, like a few days after. And you're like, come on now. Really? I saw an article from this like business website that said, we spoke to three heads of HR to get their take on what to do if the Chris Rock Will Smith slap happened in their office. And I'm like, what in the fuck what are y'all doing?
First order of business, get Will Smith and Chris Rock to work in your office. And then do absolutely nothing.
Could you imagine that workplace? I mean, wow. Right. And then they're fighting over Jada or some shit. Yeah. Anyway, Jaquise, we are joined by a great guest. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's, you know, been on the show before. We tried to get him again. They're so busy. You know what I mean? They say, oh, hold up, man. Let me get my assistant to holler at you real quick. That day is not going to work for me. This person is not just a talented person. They're a brilliant MC, brilliant producer. Ooh. Straight from Detroit, Michigan, you know, where basically the greatest beat makers of my memory come from. You know, if people fuck around with the culture, they know about Detroit. But I am thrilled and pleased to welcome our guest, Illingsworth.
Oh,
what's up, Illingsworth?
Hello. I'm good, man. I'm glad to be here. If y'all want me to get into the real reason why I was not on before, I can.
I know. I was okay.
That's up to you. Yeah.
I set it up like that because I remember the day you were supposed to be on, and we said, "Yo, he hasn't called in. We don't know what's going on." And then tell us what happened that prevented you from coming on a few weeks ago.
All right, I'm gonna try to give the abbreviated version. Long story short,
okay. You can give the long story. I mean, it's interesting. If it's interesting, please, by all means.
Well, I'll put it like this: an unlabeled bag of candies ended up in front of my father, and my father is the type of person where it's like, if it's in my reach, it's mine. So he just indiscriminately ate these candies until they were gone. Only to find out later. That they had a little bit of the ganji ganj inside of them, and he had a rough evening. I actually, you know, in many ways, I am proud of my father, but in that day, in that moment, I was very ashamed at his gullibility and just. Like level of like you are so naive. An unlabeled bag of candy, you just go eat every last
right
piece.
I mean, ate a whole bag of edibles.
I know.
Yes.
Is it okay? How many? What are we talking? Like you didn't even open this bag. We're talking.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to like act like I don't indulge from time to time. But this bag actually belonged to a friend.
Okay.
Who had left it around.
You can just tell. The shit belonged to my friend.
Yeah, cops,
it wasn't mine, right. Man. It wasn't mine. But no, like, oh no, I was just saying, like, it was left around him. As far as I know, there were as little as 6 pieces and as many as 20 in this bag. It was like a Ziploc, like a completely unlabeled, unmarked, you know, with and y'all know how edibles look, man. They don't look like any kind of store bought candy. They look very man made. Yeah. Like, why are you just dumping just these into them. Your gullet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the taste. Know, but it's not like you're going to eat it. You'll be like,
eventually you're going to taste
Juju
the weed.
Jujubes have gone
You
bad.
Can taste the weed.
Yeah. And that's what prompted him to, like, get in contact with me, you know, to find out, like, what was going on with him.
Because
he was feeling real strange.
Was he going through it?
He was going through it. It was incredible from my perspective.
Right.
You know, I actually, like... This kind of fits into like, you know, the pandemic health crisis or whatever. But I took him to the emergency room and, you know, they took his information. We sat in there for about 2 hours and didn't get any help. And I'm just looking at him. I'm like, man, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
So we just dipped. We just ended up dipping.
How long was he high for? Was he high all day? I know he was high all day.
He was probably high until like the next day or 2 days, perhaps. Wow. Yeah. You know,
be careful. You know, this is great.
I saw him a couple times, and I'm like, yo, man, you are, you know, you a little bit more verbal than usual. Like my dad is one of those like very like stoic. I, I only say what I have to say type dads. Right. And he was just like, like, you talking a lot today. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Like laughing at some shit. He's like, look at that crow.
He's like, what? Yeah, he was a little different. But, you know, as soon as it got out of his system, he went right back to like regular right nonverbal dad.
Right. Right back to stoic statue dad.
That's the thing about edibles. They'll, you know, for me, when the few minutes where I'm like, did I take too much? Is when you start feeling your heart beating.
Right.
And you start feeling how slow it is or how fast it's going. Yeah. You're just like, this is it. I'm going to be the first nigga to die from weed. And that thought get buried in your head.
Hey.
And that's rough, man. That's a rough hour.
That's what I thought was coming from my dad. Because, you know, he was, I feel strange.
Right.
My mouth is real dry.
Right.
Like, just all kind of like, you know, just the fact that he was telling me something about how he was doing internally was always strange.
Right.
Oh, he's in trouble.
You're like, oh, shit. He's telling me about his internal experience right now. He's articulating his internal experience.
He's giving me a glimpse into his inner world. Something's wrong.
Yeah, like, in case of emergency, break glass. It's happening. Yeah. I mean, it's a slippery slope. But hey, when you know how to use them, great time. One of my fondest memories of taking edibles was actually at the Art Institute of Chicago. Last time I was in Chicago. Just strolling through there, fucking high as shit, listening to my music. And I was like, this fucking place is the fucking, this is it. Chicago, I love you.
That's very great.
All right. Well, before we dive into more stories with you, Illingsworth, let's just give people a little taste of what we're going to be talking about today. Just want to talk about just the state of remote work. You know, some people are still working remote. Many people are having to go back. But there's like an interesting sort of poll that comes out just so we can get an idea, a glimpse into the mind of the executives and managers who are going back to the offices. We'll take a look at Biden's new budget proposal and buckle up, folks, for Disappointment Fest 2022. And we'll also talk about the convoy, that DC convoy that wasn't shit. They've decided to pack it up, and we'll just kind of check in to see how that mission went. And finally, we'll discuss a new game show that's in the works based on James Bond, and, you know, just generally get excited about something like that because it's kind of a fun idea. But first, before we do all of that, Illingsworth, please tell us something from your search history that gives us a little peek into who you are.
Oh man, I'm kind of a nerdy person, if the glasses didn't give it away. Mm-hmm. I mean, the listeners can't see the glasses, but maybe you can hear them. But the last thing I was looking up on the young Google search engine was how to remove a clock capacitor from an original Xbox.
Whoa.
The OG boys, the big blocky boys.
Oh, black boy. Controllers. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what?
Apparently, you know, a clock capacitor. Yeah. So like in the original Xbox, it had like that dashboard, just like, you know, the other game systems have. But like the time is kept by a capacitor on the motherboard. And these systems have been out for like decades at this point. And the clock capacitors are faulty. So after so many years, they leak this poisonous substance onto the motherboard that destroys the system.
Oh, shit.
So like if you are into like the modding scene, they suggest removing the clock capacitor in order to prolong the life of your original Xbox system. So I got like three of them. So I was like Googling how to remove them, like their location on the motherboard,
right,
how to easily get them off if you don't have soldering tools, which I don't at the moment, how to like, you know, clean off the fan and stuff inside the motherboard, stuff like that.
Got you. You big into modding and using the old soldering iron?
Kind of. I mean, I was way bigger into it back when that Xbox first came out. Like, right. I had like a little side hustle where I was doing like soft mods.
Yeah,
to people's, like,
giving people
Xboxes.
Like, yeah, pirated games and shit.
Yeah, pirated game. Man, I was a young criminal. Young criminal.
Yeah.
Definitely was selling burn games.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That shit was great.
Oh, man.
I had that for my original PlayStation.
Ooh.
And I had to send it in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the 90s still, right?
Right.
So I found, like, I don't know how I found it because, shit, I was under 13.
Right.
So I don't know. And this, again, the 90s. So information isn't as right. That's what it had to be. But I found it and found the address to send it to. My mom let me send it like to Japan or some shit. And it came back. I didn't have my PlayStation for like a month and a half, but it came back. And I was able to, boy, I played so much Dragon Ball Z, burnt games, and like so much dope ass shit. Oh man, it was great.
Shout out,
it was
shout great. Out to the pirated game life, the boot discs, the old great Dreamcasts. I remember fucking NBA 2K2. I played fucking burnt the fucked up that burnt disc like it was nothing.
Oh man, that the Dreamcast was one of the best ones because you could just burn those discs like,
straight up
without having to do anything.
I was there at best a boot disc. At best, you just needed a boot disc, and then you could just toss them right in.
You can toss them
right in. Look, we're nerds too.
Man, the kids don't know, man. I just saw an article today saying PlayStation is doing a, like a Netflix type thing where basically you can't go through their whole catalog. You just pay for like a streaming, like $150 a year. Mm-hmm. And you can stream PlayStation 1 games on up from their catalog. And I'm like, man, you motherfuckers got it easy.
Yeah,
man.
Right. That's been the theme of you being on here. I'm like, man, these motherfuckers are easy.
These motherfuckers got it easy.
They do, though. They do, though. I mean, he's not lying.
And you said, for a second, I thought you said clot capacitor and not clock capacitor. I said, what is this, Black to the Future with a Jamaican Dr. Brown? He's like, the clot capacitor.
I'm sitting over here with a catheter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clot capacitor.
Clot capacitor.
Anyway, what's something you think is overrated?
Friendship, man. Friendship is overrated, man. All you gonna do is let your friends down. They're gonna be counting on you to be responsible and listen to them and be considerate and look out for them. And inevitably, people just fail at that. You know what I'm saying? Myself included. I don't say this with any kind of you know, I'm not on a high horse. I don't have the high ground, Anakin.
Right.
You know, so hey, man, be a solitary lone wolf.
Wait, what happened? Did you just fuck some people over or something?
Yeah, what happened?
Or did somebody fuck you over? What's going on, Illingsworth?
When are we not fucking people over? You know what I'm saying? As human beings, man.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll say this. You know, I haven't had a roommate since I was 19 years old outside of, like, you know, living with significant others or whatever.
Word up.
But I always said, man, I can't live with no damn friends, man. Like, the best thing about friends is they go the fuck home.
Yeah.
They go home eventually, man. Like, you know, everybody up here talking about, I want to be with my friend all day. No, I don't. I don't want to be with you all day.
But most, yeah.
That's why I choose to be your friend, so I can choose to leave.
It really,
I get it.
It will fuck your friendship up living with somebody. And I know this wasn't really the thrust of what you were saying, Illingsworth, but I feel what you're talking about, Chiquis.
I mean, it's related.
The two friends I live.
It's related, yeah.
Yeah, you live with people. You kind of need a cooling off period after you're done living with them to be like, that's right, we're homies. Rather than like, man, that's that motherfucker I used to live with. And it's just, yeah, it's... It's a different dimension. Different dimension.
can I just add like an additional kind of overrated thing? It sort of relates as well, but I think not slapping people is overrated. You know what I'm saying? Like just from what has come out of the last few days. Like, embrace the fullness of your humanity, man. Like, you don't have to have this like carefully manicured persona. You know, what is right and wrong?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
All the moralism happening right now. Sometimes you want to slap somebody, and sometimes things that you say will get you slapped.
Yeah.
Just be prepared to deal with what comes after.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let them hands go.
Listen, I don't know how everybody else grew up, but I grew up in a certain way where it's like, yo, some shit may get you hit. Right. So you watch your mouth.
Yeah.
You watch your mouth.
Slick mouth, you know? Can elicit a response, a physical response from those around you. I mean, yes, many people are not strangers to that world, but it's, again, like you're saying, the hot take economy is in full swing right now. So yeah, it's everybody's getting it right now.
It's the feeling of safety. It's the feeling of safety. I remember, and it felt like this to me, I should have let the hands go. I remember I was at UCB and somebody came in and started talking crazy. And I was in front of all the white people and friends and shit. And I let that shit, I just like verbally said some shit, but I let that shit go.
Right.
And I was like, man, the safety you feel in these four walls is crazy.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's what Chris Rock was feeling. He was feeling the safety in them dopey walls, man. And Will was like, you ain't safe nowhere, bro.
Right. He's like, you're not Magneto in that plexiglass fucking jail cell, homie. I can get to you.
I think also in getting slapped, you saw that he also understood like the contract that was made in there. Like, yeah, I can get slapped, because he didn't try to fight back. He didn't try to do nothing back. It's like, yep, you know what? I ate that.
Yeah.
And that's just that.
It was wild to see boxing Twitter get into it. It's like, you couldn't even believe the lack of head movement from Chris Rock. He's like, somebody's approaching you like that. Come on now. Get your head out of the line. Now duck it. Like,
yeah, Chris Rock kind of leaned into it, I thought. Like, I know he was laughing, but bro, I see somebody walking up. I'm at least going to put my chin up, bro.
Yeah. What do they say? Protect yourself at all times.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, it reminded me almost the first time you ever block up like your mom from smacking you. And then it looks like it's like a Dragon Ball scene where it's like before you be like, whoosh, like, no, mom, I reflexively now know I can fucking, I know how to defend myself. Mm-hmm, and they're like, what the fuck was
that? And
that
gets you beat even worse.
Yeah.
That's when they learn how to restrict you. That's when they learn to wrestle.
Right.
When I learned how to block my mom, that's when she learned headlocks and arm locks. Like, nah, nigga, finger locks. These arms.
Super efficient. Yeah, there's a shifting of the power dynamic that needs to be addressed in that moment. And either they address it or they don't.
Yeah, they either accept that like you've crossed the Rubicon, or they're like, no, this is mutual assured destruction, actually, my son. Yeah. we will all die in this Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, it was like, I came ready to fight today.
What's something you think is underrated, Illingsworth?
Underrated? Okay, I'm going to get back to normal stuff. The TV show Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. Okay. Ooh-wee. Mm. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that. Have y'all seen that?
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
No.
Okay, do y'all dig science fiction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess we don't got a whole lot of things to pick from for science fiction on TV right now. I might be forgetting some things, but I think Raised by Wolves is one of the best. First off, the actors on there are great.
Mm-hmm.
What else? They tackle a lot of themes about parenthood, responsibility, forgiveness, consent, religion. They got all kind of ill concepts, ill costumes. Mm-hmm. Like the costumes on that show are very simplistic, but they fit into this world that they've built so perfectly.
Right.
And man, like for me, watching every episode of that, each episode left me with like, oh, I wished this was bingeable. You know, lucky for the people listening right now, they have already completed two seasons that are up on HBO Max, so you can binge.
Sweet.
I was watching it live, waiting a week, just cooking in my chair in between.
Right.
And now you all get the benefit from the work that I've done, and you just get to knock it down.
But then we'll be caught up.
What's the show about?
Basically, it's like a futuristic human society where like it's split into two factions. One faction is very like technocratic and atheistic, and the other faction is like super duper religious. And like Earth becomes kind of inhabitable. So they send out people to like go to this planet called like Kepler 22b to carry on the human race.
Shout out Johannes.
And so like for the Mithraic, the religious sect, like they actually send like a ship full of people in like cryo sleep or whatever.
Okay.
The atheists send two androids with like embryos, and they're tasked to like, you know, birth these embryos and the humans raise them up and repopulate this world. And so it kind of follows what happens with those androids and with like the religious sect meeting up on that planet trying to like figure out how to, you know, make their way on the planet and you know, hijinks ensue.
I like that. Yeah, the added complexity of like religion and atheism and all that with the future. Okay. No.
It's dope. It's dope, man. I enjoy it. So I hope, you know, anybody listening that decides to check it out enjoys it as well.
Raised by Wolves.
All right. Raised by Wolves.
Not just a thing people's parents would yell at us when they came home. Okay, cool. Well, check that out. Super producer Justin saying it's one of the creepiest sci-fi things I've ever seen. Okay. I like that endorsement.
Yes.
It's Ridley Scott and his son Luke who made it. Okay. So Ridley Scott got a bit of a degree there with the sci-fi shit. I'll say I like that resume. All right, so check that out. We say that as if and Illingsworth, he's starring in Raised by Wolves. So y'all catch him on that. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk this news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back working from home. Just want to talk about this because, you know, as we, you know, we see all the calls from politicians, business leaders saying it's time to go back to the office, folks. Time to get back to normal. Even though damn near a million people have died from coronavirus because, yeah, we just got to get back to normal after seeing some shit like that go down very quickly. And, you know, I think a lot of the workers that have had a taste of remote work aren't that willing to snap back into this back to normal situation. And I first want to start off by saying, yeah, obviously, this whole work from home movement or reality has not extended to most jobs. You know, like a study that just came out recently says about in total, not to say this is how many people are doing remote work, but in general, it's been estimated that about 40% of the jobs in America can be performed remotely without going into an office, like mm-hmm. if you really wanted to get real about mm-hmm. it. But for the most part, most people are not in a situation that allows for that, especially depending on the industry that you're in or the type of work that you do. But we spoke like about a week or two ago about how there's this huge push to go back to the office is, you know, partly fueled by commercial real estate because they're just getting absolutely destroyed because they're like, oh, no, people don't need offices now. Well, what the fuck? Oh, I developed all this land mm-hmm. and nobody is using it. Could have been affordable housing, yeah. but nope. Joe Byron helped them get back to the office so I can collect rent. And you see that little bit of energy moving in that sense. But there's this new poll that came out that shows that there's also this human element to pushing the work from or back to the office shift. And that's managers and executives miss being the boss.
Yeah.
So in this poll that was done, corporate executives are disproportionately into the idea of going back to the office. Like 75% of executives, they want to come back to the office at least 3 days a week, compared with under 40% of the rank and file employees. And that's just in general. That number's a lot higher if you can work remotely.
Yeah, that's because working at home, you start to see you're worth a little bit more because you don't have people breathing down your neck. You don't have people pretending you know, they are doing work when they're not. And then, you know, you don't have bosses, you know, just being in charge of you. You know, it's much easier to be in charge of you if I'm right in front of you than if we're hundreds of miles away or whatever. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So that's 100% a part of the reason why. Also, man, what a terrible time to be pushing, getting back to work. Nigga, gas is $6.
Right.
Six. Bro. Right. Yeah, bro. Six. Man. It just cost me $105 to fill up my tank the other day. And I almost understood murder at that point. Yeah. I was like, I want to kill somebody. I want to hurt somebody.
I've driven sedans most of my life, and I was behind a dude getting gas the other day, and he said, put 60 on pump 4. And I was like, what?
60?
We at that level yet? Like, to me, that's crazy. Like, 60 to 50?
What's gas,
whoa.
What's gas in Detroit right now, a gallon?
Man, I don't even know, man. I just have to pay for it. You know what I mean? I'm one of those people where it's like, I have to go somewhere, so I just got to put the gas in the car when the car needs gas.
Right,
so I don't
right,
even
right.
look at it, because it's like, what am I going to do the mental gymnastics for about what the gas is when I need it?
Right.
I need it.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But like, just hearing somebody be like, yeah, 60 on 4. And that probably wasn't filling his tank up either. Like,
right. No, that didn't fill his tank up.
And he was a Fiat. Yeah, for that Fiat, man. It's a 6-gallon tank, but
shit.
And on top of that, you know, it's a good point. You know, as obviously the cost of living goes up, not many companies that are acknowledging that in their pay. So
no,
at some levels, exactly. You're like, yo, it's like, honestly, with the gas and shit, I'm making barely any money to go into work, depending on what your wages are. And I think, you know, this is kind of like this new cultural shift that's happening that you wish, you know, like, even as a matter of policy, you know, the federal government's doing fuck all about climate change. You could be like, you know what, maybe we should actually encourage more remote work. That's less people commuting. That's one way to cut down on emissions. But again, because of those structures of offices and the egos of bosses, they very much want to be in there. And a lot of people point to the fact that, you know, if executives and stuff have a very different work-life balance than the rank and file employees. So for them, going in the office is like, yeah, man, I go in fucking 40 minutes after everybody else does. I go to lunch an hour before everybody else does for 2 hours longer than most people do. And then I leave 90 minutes before everybody else. Dude. And it's great. Yeah. I love going to work. My office is in the corner. Beautiful.
Yeah. Whenever I want to have affairs, I can bring people to the office. Oh, can't bring nobody home.
Yeah,
exactly. Can't bring nobody home, but I can bring them to my office. Look at this view, baby. Look at this view.
When you were describing earlier the boss is missing being in office, I was thinking like, maybe there's a business there. Like, maybe we can get them to pay to show up somewhere to boss people around for a few hours out of the day to like to placate them so that we can still keep working from home.
That's a fucking dystopia. Yeah. Like, imagine you had a job where you go to this place where CEOs have to pretend they have employees and you're a pretend employee at a fake job, but you still get paid. And all you have to do is be like, oh, right away, Mr. Roberts. I'll be right on that in the double. And they're like, I love this place. You're like, I'm at Disneyland for CEOs.
There it is.
Because that's already like your job anyway, pretending like you fucking give a fuck and that you love what the fuck you do. So like,
somebody I'm like hanging with is like, my office wants us to start coming back in, and they're going to have to give me like a $25,000 raise if they do that. And I'm like, ooh. First of all, $25,000 raise? Shit, I should have asked for that when I used to work and shit. But like, that's exactly what, like, that's like when you start talking in the time and cost. Let me tell y'all something. Your time is worth it. All right? Yeah. Your time. There is one thing on this planet that you run out of. Not money. I mean, you know, in general, you cannot run out of money.
Hold on, I'm going to get out of your plan.
You cannot run out of food. Mm-hmm. You cannot run out of... You run out of time.
Yeah.
Everybody, every fucking living organism runs out of time. Your time is worth it. So if you don't want to sit in the car for 40 minutes on the commute, don't fucking sit in the car for 40 minutes on the commute. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you got to live. I get that. I know it's more black and white. It's not as black and white. Right. But yeah, man, if your time is worth it, ask to be compensated for your damn time.
Oh,
ain't nothing wrong with that.
People need to ask.
You might get no.
Don't.
Yeah, don't be afraid of hearing no. That's for damn sure. Like, yeah. You know, I certainly don't. I mean, I know it's happened before, but it's not often you hear people be like, I got fired because I knew my worth when I tried to ask for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, depending yeah. on your work, yeah, you might have a place you'd be like, oh, get the fuck out. We're only here to exploit the fuck out of you. Hell no. What did you think this was?
Shit. Okay. I asked for $1,000 an episode to do the Daily Zeitgeist. Like, she said no. But yeah. I asked for it because my time is worth it.
I mean, like I said, I'm grateful for all the Casper mattress discount codes that I do the show for. You know, I got more mattresses than I know what to do with. But when I look at them piling up in my spare room, I say it was all worth it.
You can jump off those.
Yeah, man. Thank you. You take the boxes and then you can make a fort. And then I make another job I go to where I'm happy. With the boxes, and I pretend there between the hours of 5 and 9. but yeah, the other thing of another thing they point out though with this like hybrid workplace thing is that they, you know, if they're not mandating physical presence, you know, the people that choose to work remotely could suffer from basically a proximity bias where like the boss is like, well, these motherfuckers are in here and I know those other people work, but I don't see them. So maybe they don't need a raise or maybe they don't, you know, they're not going to get the kind of positive attention or whatever that the people who are coming into the office might experience. And in a situation like that, it's mostly people of color and women that are tending to want to work from home more than, you know, the demographic of just white male respondents to this specific poll. So, you know, it's all shifting around us, but, you know, I guess someone needs to laugh at the boss's shitty jokes. stroke that ego, I guess. Okay, let's talk about the president, Donald Trump. I mean, Joe Biden. Sorry.
Oh, damn.
Damn. See, I got another deal going because the Casper mattresses don't cut it. My pillow subscription just came through. But my president, my pillow. President Biden has unveiled a new budget proposal. And I'll just say this. The only thing that remotely looks like a benefit to the working people is this new billionaire income tax, which is taking 20% off the income that's coming in at over $100 million. Oof, that sounds pretty cool. But that's about it. You know, that's the thing that got a lot of the headlines is like Biden is proposing this new wealth tax, like to finally make sure the billionaires are paying theirs. And typically when you hear that, the end of that sentiment is, so then the federal government has money to actually spend on things that are a benefit to working people. But if we're claiming all that money from new taxes, then what the fuck is all this spending that's going on? Because I said that sounded like the best part of this. There's no talk of fucking student loan forgiveness, but you can be damn sure the Pentagon is going to get an even bigger check than they did fucking last time to the tune of around $813 billion. Ugh. Healthcare? Childcare? Get fucked. There's actually more cash for cops, baby. That's what this fucking whole budget is about. And this is what happens, you know, when Democrats continue to govern only based on trying to manipulate polling by triangulating their policies and getting independents or whatever. And again, it's because, let's be real, they're caping for capitalism. So there's no way they could do anything that would actually be of a public benefit. There's just like this, a lot of ideas that sound a certain way, but in practice, you're just seeing more money for the military industrial complex, more money for the prison industrial complex, and less money for people. And none of the priorities in this budget appeal to the people that even fucking bothered to bail the country out on another Trump administration. But with the way the Democrats are handling, you know, their time in power, it looks like we're just delaying another Trump administration because there's basically like $2 for climate change. I mean, not seriously, it's like $50 billion or something, but pales in comparison of like what we act, the undertaking that needs to happen. And it's just like, this is the whole problem, because right now Democrats have this whole thing where the GOP is so wacky looking. Their whole identity is based on just being like, yeah, but look at them over there. That's not us. And that's it. That's pretty much their whole platform. Yeah. It's like, well, you could have that. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you
but
this.
We them boys.
Look at that. Look at that shit over there. They're fucked up, right? And they're pretty bigoted. It's like, well, I'm looking at your policies and you're spending more money on ICE, not the fucking frozen water, but the customs or immigration enforcement, ICE, than even Trump gave a budget to. Like, it's bigger ICE budgets than even under Trump. So there's a lot of head scratching, but I think this wasn't a surprise to most people who looked at a potential Biden presidency and was like, let's get too hopeful for something super transformative here.
It's pretty wild because, you know, look, in many ways, 2008 was almost like a different world to go, right? But the certain things that Obama ran on, while he didn't do them to the degree that, like, a lot of people had hoped, like, they tried to do the healthcare shit. And, you know, they did it. It's not as good as it could have been. But, like, there's, like, those big promises. Mm-hmm. Like, those, that first year or so was spent doing that. Even Trump's whack ass. Like, those first couple years outside of the wall, I mean, even this nigga put up like 40 feet a yard or 40 yards of wall. Like, he put up some of the wall. You know, he put up a block's worth of wall. Like, and like the tax cut and shit.
Right.
It is amazing that the Biden administration literally has felt like, and like, I know they've done a lot of things. I know when I say this on, you know, social media, people say, well, actually, so Zeitgang, like, stay out of my fucking mentions. But like, for the most part, he hasn't kept any of the big promises that he said he was going to keep. Like, not even the $10,000 like student loan debt thing.
I mean, let's not even forget the first one. He's like, 2,000 if y'all come out and vote in Georgia. We got $2,000 for y'all. They're like, actually, terms and conditions apply. When you really add it up, it's like there was a $600 I promised y'all earlier.
How you going to discount us on the stimulus?
Right.
Bruh.
So we have like, I mean, this wild inconsistency happening. But that's just part of politics, because that's what you do. You entice people to the polls, and then you do what the corporate benefactors tell you to do, because that's how this whole shit works. And, you know, they say shit, you know, Black Lives Matter. But you know what? Here's more cash for the police, because defund the police doesn't poll well. So let's actually say that we'll acknowledge the catastrophic loss of Black life at the hands of law enforcement by saying these things. But in practice, we will actually just reinforce those institutions with more budgets. And then they'll say, like, it's to reform the police. And you're like, to what? Reform their fucking, like, they have like a Voltron.
Higher caliber guns.
Yeah, they got Gundams and shit. Yeah. Like, are we for real? Yeah. Like, that's what's going to pull up to the next BLM march is you're going to see some shit from fucking Pacific Rim with a fucking NYPD badge being like, disperse, this is an illegal gathering, and vaporizing people. Yeah.
Boston Dynamics robo dogs.
Right. And then, like, they're like, we need to invest in our children and our education. But here's damn near $1 trillion for the military, because these aren't, you know, teachers aren't the people who fill our fucking coffers. And, you know, it's really hard to see this. And I know, and who can blame the Democrats, to be honest, because I'm just going to say this. You look at what happens with the Republicans. They're just out here just with their naked bigotry. And they're like, hey, man, they'll fucking shuck and jive and tell you that this is the America you're envisioning. We're telling you straight up, this is the fucking hell world we want to create for people. Like, and they're still
getting like 50%.
Right. They're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great. Brutalize. They're still getting a lot of the vote.
Brutalize the LGBTQ community and like immigrants. We love that.
Illingsworth, I wonder, you're in Detroit, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, like, you know, it sometimes I wonder, you know, living in LA, you know, the coastal elites. Or people from New York, even being from Chicago, even though that's in the Midwest, like Detroit, still has a very coastal elitist vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And I know Detroit is a big city, it's a liberal city and things like that. But it very much feels like it's still out of the bubble in a way that like where I'm at is not. What is the feeling on a Biden administration and some of the stuff that he promised and all these, you know, the tax, like, do people outside, because I think that's what Republicans count on is, all right, the New Yorkers, the Californians, they care about this shit. But a lot of people across the middle of the country are not caring or paying attention or anything like that. What is the vibe in like a Midwest city?
Well, you know, I'm poor, so I'm around poor people. And there's a big feeling of detachment. There's a big feeling of like, the government does a lot of like top down stuff that we just have to fall in line with. Cause oftentimes when certain laws pop up or certain mandates and it's like, yo, do y'all remember asking for this? Right. And it's like, no, like some dude in the office was like, yeah, this will make things better.
Right.
Let's put it on some ballot. And, you know, we just have to get with it or get left. So, like, in a lot of ways, I feel like, you know, people below a certain economic level, you don't even really get to feel the change because it's always just a constant, like,
it's violent.
I have to survive.
Yeah.
I have to survive. And there are things, you know, situationally, structurally, that are making that difficult all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just the constant. And there are a lot of people here, like, on the ground who are trying to do things within their own groups to, like, raise things up. But, like, as far as, like, feeling like the government is doing anything helpful to actual people, I'm not seeing it.
Right.
Yeah. Whoever's in office, you know
when
what I mean?
When you see, like, there was that tweet that went viral, like, over the weekend where someone's like, I spoke to my very educated college, you know, graduate millennial daughter who's 30. She says and all her friends are completely assed out and don't believe that this administration or the system as it is can do anything to help them. Is this true? Is this an actual feeling going on? You're like, yes.
Yeah.
Because our decisions are being made by people with fucking $40,000 freezers who have no concept of what a dollar is or what it means to live or what bills are. And then they're surprised at the fucking, they're like, how's Joe Biden's polling numbers going down more? Because they're like, I thought the kids we spoke to on that college campus were all smiles. Like, well, are you really talking to working people and what they need? Because, you know, there was a lot of carrot dangling to the polls that appealed to people who said, you know what? Massive, like a break in having childcare would ease up a lot of money for me. Being able to have like my bills be manageable because healthcare costs are coming down or prescription drug costs are coming down, like those things would help. But we see the foot dragging, and it comes from Democrats too, like who are just as easily saying, like, I don't know if I want to vote for that bill because I'm basically a NASCAR with a bunch of Pfizer stickers sponsorships on my back.
Yeah.
So
looking at you, Joe.
I just want to play this clip though. From Republicans, because they are really, 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 like I said, they're really out here just letting you know, like, this is the fucking world that we're looking for, because they are really just coming out here with their proposals, specifically Senator Rick Scott from Florida, who's saying, like, this is like this could be the new Republican platform. And this was on Fox, and even the Fox News host was like, hold on, bro, like, what the fuck are you even saying that this could be a policy? Because Rick Scott is proposing that, you know, shit like Social Security or Medicare, those don't need to be like forever programs. We can just like re-up them every couple years and make sure, just do a vibe check on the country and make sure that we need those social safety nets. And even this dude on Fox was like,
Now, in November the 8th, you recently put out an 11-point plan to rescue America, two of the big points of which are, quote, all Americans should pay some income tax to have skin in the game, even if a small amount. Currently, over half of Americans pay no income tax. It also says all federal.
First of all, they don't pay income tax because they're not making enough to pay income tax. That it's not because half the country's like Wesley Snipes or some shit. It's because they don't make the minimum. Okay, but we'll go on. That's so, hey, everybody, even the poor people need to fucking have some skin in the game, not just their whole fucking existence.
Legislation sunsets in 5 years. If a law is worth keeping, Congress can pass it again. So that would raise taxes on half of Americans and potentially sunset programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Why would you propose something like that in an election year?
Sure. Well, John, that's, of course, the Democrat talking point. It's a
No, it's
plan.
In the plan. It's in the plan.
But here's this thing about reality for a second. Medicare.
But Senator, hang on. John, so it's not a Democratic talking point.
Okay. So then he says, like, okay, good point. Wow. That those are words straight from the text that I wrote. And it's a Democrat talking point to point out the craven nature of this legislation, I think is what he meant. Yeah.
That's what he's talking about, is the talking point, not the actual plan. The fact that, motherfucker, you ain't supposed to be saying that out loud. Yeah. Not with that in your voice.
Quiet,
not with that tone.
Loud, bro.
Yeah. Your soft ass, empathetic fucking Fox News anchor ass. Get out of here. This is Fox News. You're supposed to fucking run with me.
I think it was funny that he was talking about people having skin in the game, because he was definitely looking for blood in the game. He looks like Nosferatu.
Oh, yeah.
My friends.
Oh, yeah.
He looks very vampiric.
He looks like he cheats at Dungeons and Dragons. If that's even possible. That's like the vibe of fucking Rick Scott. All right. And I just want to check in with the convoy really quick. The trucker convoy we heard, you know, after the effect that it had in clogging Ottawa, you know, many Americans were like, that's what we need, is we need fucking truckers to fuck up the roads and keep people from getting to the hospital so then we can fight the mandates and Fauci and do away with the masks and freedom. And that's fucking, you know, that's us. Great plan. But unfortunately, their like anti-masker revolution has ground to a piss-soaked halt. And I'll get into the P aspects of that in a second. But these people had a dream, you know, of uniting idiots across the country to fight the mandates. And they were even saying when they got to D.C., they were going to citizens arrest, like just basically everybody in D.C. They're like, first, it's Mayor Muriel Bowser. We're coming for you. D.C. Metro Police will citizens arrest you. I'm like, OK, well, maybe, you know, you might have a point there. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to do, but I don't know if you're going to get, you know, that plan will succeed, trying to citizens arrest the police. Sure. Yeah. And even some citizens, if we have to. OK, now, I don't know for what now. You can't just do it because you're pissed off about mandates, but that's fine. The thing is, this thing was doomed from the start, right? Because it's not just because they had no real ideas or plans or situational awareness, but I, you know, because their movement is based entirely on looking out for yourself. And these people fighting the mandates, they're not altruists or altruistic at all. They just, you know, I think they just don't have that ability to sustain a morally outraged movement, because it's starting off, they're starting with a bunch of nothing. They just saw that the world changed very quickly to adapt to a pandemic. It freaked them out. And then they said, no, it's not me that can't fucking figure it out. This is the damn new world order. Sure. But when you check in, they spent 3 weeks. And they didn't get shit done. First of all, the mandates were fucking winding down as they were approaching D.C. So this idea that they were pushing back against some draconian law, that kind of faded away. They met with like a couple politicians, and even that didn't really do anything. And I just want to say, I say piss soaked, because as these people were circling the beltway, trying to be like, you know, intimidate people. First, they were like, couldn't believe that people were flicking them off. They were like, so many people have been flipping me the bird. I can't believe it. That's the problem with these people in this city. They're just so rude. Then they're like, where are the bathrooms? We keep circling the beltway and we need to pee. A lot of these people, they're pointing out, it's hard to find bathrooms, especially when you're in a giant ass convoy, because you're not going up like an interstate where there's like truck stops for everybody to pull over at. So many truckers resorted to either peeing in bottles or just straight pissing themselves to keep the fucking point going. And again, you hate to see it. And then by sort of the last couple of weeks, the organizers, they were just like, man, we're losing control of this thing. Like the shit started splitting off into factions. It was getting violent. There was some dude named Ricky Bobby who had a Ricky Bobby t-shirt on who kind of started like a counter movement within the convoy. And then like shit got so hectic, cops had to get called because one of his friends like pulled a gun. The thing was chaos. So I don't know I'm not sure if y'all were paying attention or surprised, but it's done nothing.
No,
that came and went over here.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like you were saying all of that, and I've heard about it, but it's also to the point now where it's just like there's always something, and like some things like slip through the cracks and shit. And this was one that like slipped through the cracks. So this is literally like the first time I'm hearing any of this.
Yeah.
Which is sad because.
Right. You saw the headlines and you're like, oh shit, here comes this fucking carnival of stupidity coming for the streets of DC and the Beltway. But even then, like everything was just, the morale was all fucked up. All the money they raised, like the organizers starting to get stingy with like who was getting fuel reimbursements. And on top of that, all the gas prices were going up. So, yeah, it's hard. It's hard when your movement doesn't really stand for anything. You hate to see it.
Yeah.
You know, all right. So rest in peace.
I love that somebody in the convoy was named Ricky Bobby, though. Rest in piss. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that just feels like a funny thing. That's like, of course, some guy just became known as Ricky Bobby, who was starting a bunch of trouble within it because he's like, man, I don't think the organizers know what the fuck they're doing. And then like the organizers, like, shut the fuck up. Like,
shut up, Ricky Bobby.
Shut up, Ricky Bobby. And we're only calling you that because that's the, you say we're wearing the same damn Talladega Nights t-shirt for fucking 16 days straight. Right. But hey, you know, you got to respect the fandom. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk James Bond, the game show, right after this.
Ooh.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Just quick question. I know, Illingsworth, you like sci-fi. You got an imagination. Jaquez, I know you like movies. You've got an imagination. Do you ever watch films? And have you ever watched like a human, like a Mission Impossible type film, a Jack Reacher, a James Bond, and been like, yeah, I think I could pull off that stunt. Or like, yeah, I think I could jump between
all the time.
Turns. You know what I mean?
I think I would try and die immediately.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I think I would live.
As a kid, did you? I don't know. I would always kind of look at stuff and be like, I wonder if I could actually do that. Like, I wonder, like Indiana Jones films used to fuck with me. Like, I remember putting a fucking pole in the spokes of my own bike because I saw Indiana Jones do that to a Nazi in a movie and he flew off the bike. And I was like, I got to see if that shit works. It worked. And I damn near fucking busted my skull on the pavement.
Wait a minute. While you were riding, you like stuck a fucking pole
put a stick in the front.
Yeah, nah, I wasn't doing all that shit.
Oh, no, yeah.
I wasn't doing all that. Yeah.
People think I'm smart. Yeah. I'm not.
Okay, you should have did the one where Indiana Jones shot an unarmed man. That was would have been a much easier one.
Yeah, that
would have hurt you
that's
less.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know.
I want to do the shit where I'm not looking at the hero getting hurt and be like, man, I wonder what it would be like to get hurt.
I was just more like, I was in my mind, I was like, man, stop capping Indiana Jones. That shit don't work. And then I was like, fuck. Like, I don't know what the fuck I thought. And yeah,
too well.
Speaking of, shooting the unarmed person, I mean, look, I don't have time to do the 3 weeks of police training to get a gun so I can shoot an unarmed person. Come on now, I got games to play, weed to smoke. But, you know, so I ask you this because there's this casting call went out for this new game show that I think Amazon is putting out with some other production company, but it's essentially testing people's 007 gangster with like physical fucking tests. I'll just read this to you. This is the sort of conceit of this upcoming show. Quote, it will take place at historic locations scooped from seminal Bond films, meaning the Icelandic glaciers from Die Another Day and Florida's 7 Mile Bridge from License to Kill. They're all fair game. Contestants will compete for a cash prize of £1 million. Hey, because, you know, this is keeping it James Bond, or $1.3 million. Although passing physical obstacles will be a major component, ideal contestants must also demonstrate their intelligence by answering questions correctly to qualify for the next round. We don't know exactly what the tests are, but this is I like anything that take somebody's like hubris and puts it to the test. Like, remember Joe's versus Pros? They used to be on Spike TV.
Not familiar. Very vaguely.
Okay, so Joe's versus Pros were these like dudes who were like, yo, I'm the best fucking hooper at my fitness club. Or like, I was a college prospect in football. And they're like, okay, go against Marshall Faulk. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, play one-on-one with Brian Scalabrine or something, you know what I mean? And they would just get cooked. Mm-hmm. And it was always fun. Like, this guy's like, I'm the best hitter in my local baseball league. And they're like, all right, go against this retired pitcher. And they would just get fucked up. And it was like all this show to kind of humble these people who had, you know, bigger ideas for what they were able to do. So in my mind, this is like, I can already see like the goofy contestants who are like way too confident in their skills and getting all fucked up in the first couple challenges.
This is putting me in the mind of like Ninja Warrior, which is a show that I used to watch back in the day. Like, I love shows like that where it's just like normal people trying to do outstanding feats and failing.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, bring it on. I'll check out an episode or two.
It's the reason why I did Tough Mudder, because I would be it's no secret. I watched The Challenge.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, man, I can do that shit. I can do a final, like all the shit they be doing in there. Cause they do like movie type, like stunts and stuff for their challenges and things like that. That's kind of what it's based off of. So I was like, all right, what's the closest thing got? Cause I'm too old to be on MTV now and nowhere near attractive enough. But like, I was like, what's the closest thing I can do? Tough Mudder. Let's go. So hell yeah, I would do this shit. I wanna where to sign up? You got the sign up link?
That's funny that you bring up The Challenge, because I was like, I know Jaquise would this would be up your alley just to try your James Bond skills.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're like, are you supposed to like clap a machine gun off on a jet ski or something? Like, how
on The Challenge?
Yeah, no. Like on this show, like if you're really gonna do your James Bond shit, like how I can't imagine it's really firearm centric, because that would just present a huge safety risk. Be like, and these amateurs are shooting guns too from moving vehicles. But
alcoholism challenge,
right? Exactly. They're like mourn all the women you got killed challenge.
Which, how many women can you sleep with challenge? Oh, there we go.
They're like, actually, no, this show's all bad. They're like, how many women can you disrespect challenge as James Bond?
Right. How many authorities can you, you know, not pay attention to?
The challenge, though, do you think, because look, I like The Challenge, too. And I was texting you because I started binging. I cleared up. I had dead weight. I told you over the summer, I stopped watching when DM passed away, because that got too real for me. I was like, man, DM passed away. That was my, like, him and CT and her. Wow, that was a love story for millennials. You know what I mean? And then when she passed away, I stopped watching. And then I got back into it. And the same shit was going through my mind, Jaquise, where I was like, fuck, man, could I do one of I'm like, I could eat anything. I'm not worried about any eating challenges. I'll eat straight shit
for a million. I don't give a fuck. Like, I can do that. It's like the long distance uphill running that terrifies me when I watch those challenges. Okay. And like, I see those, especially in like the later ones are like, this is the hardest one of all time. And you got to go up and like run through the Sahara naked. I was like, okay, maybe not. But
yeah.
How did you feel going from I can do this to actually trying something like that?
I mean, you know, if I was in my 20s, I probably would have been like, I was like, hell yeah, I can do this. I can do this. I can fucking do this. Just let me, just get me on the field. Now in my 30s, my mindset is, I can do this. I can do this. I just need about 3 or 4 months of training first. So like, you know, I've shifted my mindset where, you know, I can probably do some stuff, but I need to first see what exactly am I going to be doing and then train toward that. So when I get there, then I can do it, you know. So like, that's where it is now. I had to train for it, you know, because if I would have just went out there willy nilly, Tough Mudder was like 9 miles, 25 obstacle courses. I wouldn't have lasted on a third of that shit.
You know, low key, they were like, "Hey, would you guys be open to?" They're asking Jack and I, like, "Would you want to be a tough, like, do a Tough Mudder sponsorship?" They're like, "And compete in the thing." And Jack and I, are like, "Bro, we'll die in the condition we're in." They're like,
"Yo, I'll do that shit. Send them to me."
There's like, "Well, they were like, there's one coming up next week." I'm like, "The fuck out of here!
Next
I'm
week,
about
oh,
to
no,
do no,
no
Tough
no,
Mudder
no,
in
need
one
training.
Week."
That's too short notice.
Training.
Yeah. Unless like, honestly.
Tell iHeart to go ahead and give me another podcast and then and have Tough Mudder sponsor me.
Right.
And I'll be there.
We'll do
I'll
a new podcast called.
And then I'll quit the podcast.
As I call the challenge, the Chugy Olympics, the Chug Olympics for the old millennials. And it's about two old ass millennials trying to get their bodies right to do a challenge or a Tough Mudder or this James Bond show. I don't know. That's good. That's a good branded show. Oh, yeah. Come on, sales. Yeah.
It is. It is. Illingsworth, you got to be there, man.
Yeah.
Just by proxy.
You were here.
You got to be there. You were here.
I mean, I'm at the point where I can look at the first challenge and be like, oh, maybe I can do the first challenge. I don't think I would be able to get past
when you watch
number two, though.
When you watch Ninja Warrior, you're like, okay, I could do the little uneven foot thing. I could get across that little uneven foot bridge.
It's maybe. Maybe.
I really want to try and get up that wall. You know what I mean? That ramp wall that's usually at the end of stage one.
Oh, where you have to like build
the
up
vertical
momentum
wall.
And
yeah.
Run up and pull yourself.
Like a half pipe?
Yeah, I can't do that. I got the bird chest. Tweet, tweet.
I want to try. See, I just want to be humble.
Tweet. Not going to be able to do it. I'm sorry.
Well, then maybe we'll just stick to the James Bond shit.
I still want to do the aggro crag from Guts.
Ooh.
Oh,
you remember that shit?
Class fuck,
I still want to do that shit. I still want to do that. I want to do that. Hell yeah.
I would do that. I would even go Legends of the Hidden Temple. Come on, Olmec.
Yes.
I don't care how culturally insensitive this shit is.
Right. I'll kill that silver monkey, baby.
Yeah.
doing all that exertion, getting all them jump scares to win like a stereo.
Right, exactly.
Pretend you're in a video game. Or a bicycle.
Yeah.
No, right. Children's
that's
bicycle.
Exactly.
What you got was a translucent cord phone for your room, plus a 4-night vacation from Outrigger Hotels Contiki in Hawaii. It was like always like Outrigger in Hawaii, giving you a Honolulu vacation. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw I went to Hawaii and I saw the Outrigger Hotel. All I could think of was like, this was a prize on every Nickelodeon show was to come to this hotel. And my wife was like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, just let me have my elderly moment by myself.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm here at the Outrigger.
It was a Nickelodeon timeshare.
You're right.
Exactly. And you know I'm blued up with the Blue Barracudas, cuz. Okay. So that's going to do it for today. Illingsworth, thanks so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, celebrate you? It's your birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday, man.
Yeah, March 29th is my birthday. Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Hell yeah. Happy birthday.
Let's go. Thank you. Well, you can find me at Illingsworth on all social media. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. You can find me at illingsworks.bandcamp.com for my music. I just recently put out an EP with Homeboy Sandman called There in Spirit. I got a Lace Cut record out. If you follow me on social media, you can find that very easily. Just dropped a song with Open Mike Eagle, yeah. Rap Ferreira, Still Rift, and Video Dave called Multi-Game Arcade Cabinet with some live bass on there by the homie Jordan Katz. Cool. Check that out. It's on all streaming. Yeah, that's where you can find my stuff.
Perfect. Yeah, check out his Bandcamp. Support the artist Illingsworth. Please, will you? And what's a tweet that you like or another work of social media you want to point people into their direction?
Well, I don't necessarily have a tweet or social media. Cool. I just been trying to like stack up some great books.
Okay. Wow.
So I just want to recommend some books to take us
out
real quick.
Listen, young man, let me tell y'all about some books I've been reading. I'm not fucking with these memes.
There's a book called Laziness Does Not Exist by Dr. Devin Price. That's pretty dope. It's about exactly what the title is about. Laziness does not exist. You know, dismantling the idea of like people having to be super productive to be worthy of existing. So check that out. The Dilettime book by Dan Charnas. You know, just started reading that recently. It's a very incredible book for if you want to find out about like the life of Jay Dilla and,
yeah.
And about like how he created the music. Like it has like technical aspects too. And
oh,
this
really?
Book
like,
ain't out
wait,
yet.
What do you mean? Like the way he was like chopping samples and slowing them down? And what do you mean?
Sort of, kind of. Like it has like when you first get into it, it kind of has like some technical diagrams to try to explain some of what he was doing.
Wow.
As a musician. So like it's an incredible resource for that. And also.
And even like sort of his like offbeat drumming and stuff like
yeah.
that. Being like,
yeah.
This is what a grid looks like. And here's the hi-hats.
Yeah.
Just
like,
a little
bit before
or after.
I can't remember the name of the guy, but like Dan collaborated with a musicologist to come up with like a specific kind of like language and diagram style for the book to describe
wow.
how, you know, things were like mapped out
right.
musically. it's really interesting.
Wow.
And then a book I'm looking forward to is a book called Mad, all capital letters by King Katz. It's a photo book, photo and poetry book. That's going to be on a Paper Street Press Company. I saw like a piece of it and it's very incredible and I want people to check that out. I'll be posting about it when it's out for sure.
Okay, cool. See, look at you educated. Our ignorant ass.
Love it.
Especially, man, I got to check out that Dilla book because I'm Dilla brained over here.
Please check it out.
Jaquise, where can people find you, follow you? What's the tweet you like?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what it is. Y'all can find me on these streets and in these streets and at Jaquise Neal on all the social media for the LA or people who like to travel to see shows and shit like that. This will be in LA on Mother's Day, actually. So bring your mamas, bring your kids, bring everybody at the Elysian Theater. I'm bringing back Comedian Feud, which is basically just top comedians in LA playing Family Feud. And I'm the host. And it's very fun. It's a fun ass show. The comeback is going to be the Paul F. Tompkins family versus the Lauren Lapkus family.
Oh, shit.
And then we got Naomi Ekparigan doing a little stand up set. And five people from the audience will get a chance to play the winning team between Tompkins and Lapkus.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, it should be fun. Mother's Day at Elysian Theater. Come on out. If you are in L.A. or near L.A. or you just want to come to L.A. and see a show, come do your fucking thing. It'll be a good ass time. I got some tweets. I got two tweets. They're all visual, though.
Okay.
But the visual of it is all recognizable memes, right?
Okay.
All right. So we all know that meme where Will Smith is crying from the pursuit of happiness right when he gets the job,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. Mm-hmm. The look of sorrow on his face. So that's the meme. And the tweet says, Will Smith if The Rock made that joke instead of Chris Rock. Will would have been like, God damn, I gotta go up and smack this nigga. Oh.
I'm gonna just have a talk with him afterwards backstage.
Yeah, we gonna go ahead and settle this afterwards.
Hey, The Rock, let me holler at you real quick. Yeah, what's up?
Rock. Nah, man. I just want to say I do be smelling what you be cooking, bro. Funny joke, man. Funny
joke.
Yeah,
man.
That was from at niggas be wildin'. That's the handle. And then one more from Papa Sombra. Both of mine are Rock related. But we all know that visual of The Rock after La La Land didn't win and Moonlight did. And he has like that concerned look on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this tweet says, Chris Rock's cousin, the, looks on in shock. Oh, man. That shit had me dying. It had me fucking dying. So those are my favorite tweets. Shout out to those. Using memes the right way.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Some tweets that I like. First one from Masbu Q at Masbu Q tweeted, Will needs to give back the Oscar. People who need to give back stolen land, wealth, resources, artifacts, etc.
I saw this one.
That one hits a little bit differently. Mm. Another one is from Reductress at Reductress tweeted, Silly goose. This goose is actually very litigious and will sue for defamation. And it's just a picture of a goose. And then finally, I saw Cody Ziegler, Big Zig, tweeted this thing. But I just the tweet that he retweeted, again, it's visual. I'll share it with the class that's on the screen. But this is a tweet from at J. Deb Lee. And it says, how do y'all walk in shallow water? And it has two diagrams. One is somebody walking straight up with the water at their knees. And the other option is to just duck your neck and shoulders low and be creeping so your whole body's under the water. I have to say, I'm a low creeper.
Yeah. I'm a low creeper.
Yeah, I'm down with number two.
I'm a low creeper. Yeah. Well, I gotta be bending down.
Yeah. But you know what the funny thing is? The awkward shit about being like, because usually I'm doing it because I'm like, I'm cold. I'd rather have my body submerged in all the water. Is when that inevitable moment, like when you have to get out and like you just suddenly emerge from the water like fucking Godzilla. And people are like, what the fuck? Were you crouching in there the whole time? It just looks fucking weird. And then finally, Becca O'Neill at Becca_O'Neill tweeted, as a comedian American, I feel... And just let that tweet hang like that, because there's so many think pieces going on right now. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, check out the new podcast with Jack and I, Mad Boosties, where we're talking all things Dorf on Golf and the NBA. Shout out to my old heads who remember Dorf on Golf. And also, that premiere episode dropping tomorrow, Thursday, March 31st, with our first guest, none other than this man right here, Jaquise Neal. It's a good time, so check it out.
A listen.
Imagine, it's like Zeitgeist, but we're talking basketball most of the time, and the NBA basketball. Let us use any archival clips we want, so it's kind of cool.
Hell yeah.
And also 420 Day Fiance. You already know about that. Find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got the Facebook fan page and the website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes?
There it is. Where we, you know, you can see all the stuff we talk about, the articles and shit that we're reading, talking about, as well as the song we write out on. Now, it's not often I have a producer on the show and also did a track with another guest who's been on the show. Obviously, Open Mike Eagle, been on the show many times. Ailingsworth, this is your second time. I want to say, I know you were just talking about the new work that you're doing with Mike, but I got to talk about a track that I was liking for a minute. It was right after MF Doom passed away. R.I.P. MF Doom, which is Mike, you know, spitting on one of your tracks, one of your beats. Mm-hmm. So this is an Ailingsworth and Open Mike Eagle collaboration, R.I.P. MF Doom. Again, if you... I love the beat.
Thank you.
And that's to take nothing away from the rhymes from Mike, but the beat is so good. I love the fucking wonky production. I love that distorted... Was that like an organ sample? What is that going on in there?
It's a sample of somebody singing.
Oh, and you just... Okay, and you really, yeah. You really.
I mean, some instruments in there too, but like the main feature of it is like a guy singing some words.
Ooh,
I can't say too much more because you know we gotta duck the clearance.
Exactly, man. Keep it fair. Keep it fair use because it's being used fairly, y'all. So this is R.I.P. MF Doom. Check this track out, and yeah, we'll be back later to tell you what's trending. So tune in for that. Obviously, this show is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app. Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get those podcasts. We'll see you later. Take care. Peace and blessings. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.